Good evening, and welcome to Wish Upon a Star. This is Andale Banks, your host. Wish Upon a Star is a dynamic radio program spotlighting talent in the arts arena. Guest discussions of the challenges and advice in making it in the visual, musical, literary, painting, and performing arts. As a unique part of the show, we will interview professional guests, experts in the fields of entertainment law, copywriting, studio recording, publishing, promoters, and other topics in these creative and competitive fields. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have someone in the performing dancing arts. Our special guest is Mr. Lewis Butter Neal. His biography. Lewis Butter Neal has been dancing since the age of 13. Lewis is a teacher, choreographer, and a judge of hand dancing contests. He has won and placed in dance competitions for many years across the country. Lewis has been featured on TV, radio, Broadway, and lately has been a public service announcer for Maryland about anti-gambling in the state of Maryland. Lewis is a retired veteran of the United States Army and is fluent in the Korean language. Lewis is not only known for his unique talent as a dancer, but his joy of entertaining others through his spectacular dance performances. He has traveled all over the world and is constantly sought after for his comprehensive workshops and dance coaching skills. During his years of dancing, Lewis has not let his diabetes stop his efforts in displaying how to be the best person you can be in life. Welcome to the show, Lewis.
Hey, how you doing, Ms. Andale?
Oh, just fine. It is always a wonderful time and place to hear your voice. We're going to start the questioning by something that we might already know. I'll start off by saying, shall we dance? It could be the tango, the samba, foxtrot, or waltz. But as we watch the contestants on that hit dance show and wonder, what are some of the health benefits if I start dancing? Can you tell us some of the health benefits if someone was thinking about doing dancing as an exercise?
I sure can. The health benefits you get from dancing, it could be very, very physical because you have to practice really hard. So sometimes you use muscles that you haven't used because when you're dancing, you have to actually think about the music. You have to think about where you're going to lead this person to, the one that you're dancing with. At the same time, you got to really listen to the music because dancing, you have to actually dance with the music and not through the music. So you're using hearing, you're using sight, you're using those two big muscles in your hamstrings, because if you do any kind of lifts or drops or aerials, that's the muscle that you use the most. The brain muscle, you use that more than you ever would even imagine, because you have to think about math. Everything is done in eights. So you count 8 beats of the music to make a whole phrase, which is 32 beats of music. So you're thinking on that level prior to doing the next move. You got to think, 8 coming. I got to make sure this is tight. I got to make sure my hands is here. I got to have an extension. My head has got to be turned this way so we can look like one person. And that takes a lot. So it's good for your circulatory system also, because you use extremities like your fingers, your toes, because you have to point your toes, and you all have to stand up straight to make a perfect line. At the same time, you got to entertain, and the biggest muscle of all is that muscle in your face, which is called a smile. You have to smile.
Yeah.
To show people that you're enjoying what you're doing.
That is excellent. Okay. I have some more questions that are probably relative to that same one, which is the most important thing, I think, in dancing. Okay, Lewis, what about those who claim, you know, you go out, you want to dance, and you're sitting with someone, and you may say, oh, you want to dance? And they say, oh, I can't dance. I have two left feet. Would dancing be a good exercise for them as well?
Dancing would be the best exercise because once you start moving, things start to happen. You start having flashbacks, soul training, and all that good stuff. And if you have two left feet, just leave one of them at home and just bring one with you. And after you get into the groove, what it does, it relaxes you. As long as you know that this person is not going to really show off or embarrass you or anything like that, it's all about having fun. And once you start moving to the groove, the brain just lets off these endorphins that relaxes you. And the next thing you know, you're doing some stuff that you wouldn't even imagine that you were doing at whatever age you are or whatever illness that you have. You forget all about it. All the stress that you've been through during the day, like driving or any kind of change that you have in life, like somebody getting married or the loss of a loved one or somebody getting sick. You forget all about it, and you put it on the floor. Release and let go.
Sounds great. And that's for everybody who hears a song and they're dancing in front of the TV. They can get out there and start dancing.
That's right. If you don't do nothing but the usher walk, you know, the usher walk they do in church.
Yes.
Side by side, aim but two steps to it.
Yep. Yep. Okay, dancers also may say, ooh, I can't do that because I was looking for a dance partner one time, and he said he gets winded. Dancers often get winded after dancing and maybe a routine. Can we develop a pattern in dancing to lessen this heavy breathing?
Yes. Dancing is also very cardio. So prior to dancing, you need to have some kind of regimen of workout or something that you can do at the gym, or you can go walking, or you can go running, or you can ride a bike. You got to do something prior to going into the studio and dancing. To dancing, actually, you have to develop a breathing technique. When you know you're going to do your most strenuous part of the dance routine, that's where you have to really control that breathing based on the downbeat of the music and the upbeat. Downbeat, you can hold it in. The upbeat, you can let it out. Let it in, let it out. And just develop a rhythm, just like swimming. Swimming is rhythmic. So you have to breathe. If you don't breathe, you're going to drink a whole lot of water. If you don't breathe when you're dancing, you're going to hyperventilate. And it's going to cause you to actually sweat more than usual.
Right. Now, where does that breathing, we've danced together, and I understand everything that you're saying, but I think some people don't realize how to breathe, even when they're walking. So tell us, where does that breathing start from, Lewis?
The breathing starts from your first movement. You want to say, okay, I want to make sure that you're right. So I'm going to say, you're going to inhale.
Okay.
And before you exhale, you got to have something that's going to happen within your body frame or either your arm that going to indicate that this is time for me to let it out. And you keep developing that. You say, one, I'm breathing. By the time I hit four, I'm going to breathe out. So you inhale and you exhale at the count of four. Or if your breath is shorter than that, because some people, based on if you're in really, really good shape, you can hold your breath a little longer. But if at all possible, if you can't hold your breath as long as four beats, you might want to hold it two.
Mm-hmm.
So you breathe in, inhale, one, two, let it out, on three, four. Five, six, the same thing, inhale, seven, eight, you breathe out.
Right. Great.
And that
like
will help control your breathing a lot.
Yeah. Like I said, we're going to repeat a lot of this because that's the most important thing when you're talking about the exercise of dancing. I think because it's a weight bearing activity as well. So which parts, again, of the body does it affect the most and strengthen the most?
It strengthens your torso, your buttocks, your legs. Mm-hmm. Really, really, the leg part is really close to your ankle. I would call it your Achilles.
Right.
And the balls of your feet get strengthened. And also your triceps, because the male have to do a lot of leading. And he is the frame. The woman or the lady is the picture. Mm-hmm. So when he does a move, he's showing her off. So she might have to do a wave, a body wave that works your torso muscle, also your legs. At the same time, you want to accent the music with your head. So you might turn and hit a beat of the music that you know. Once you turn your head and accent that music, you just work the part of your neck muscle. So the main ingredient to working this out is practice, practice, practice.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the hard works a little harder than just walking and running, because the heart is constantly beating. Because most records today last more than four minutes. And so you got to last through that record.
Right.
So 6 minutes to 8 minutes is most of the records that's being recorded now. So you got to say to yourself, I want to dance this whole record. Mentally, you're going to say, oh, I will dance this whole record because I like this song.
Right.
And you never know. The DJ might put something else on. They might come right after that. You say, oh, Lord, I can't miss this one. So it's important that you control it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good. That's cute. In that same vein, we have to be conscious of certain things. So should would-be dancers consult their doctors first, especially if they have any health problems?
Yes. Most doctors will tell you if you have a problem with diabetes or high blood pressure or obesity, they tell you to do everything in moderation.
Right.
And everybody's moderation might be different than the other person based on what kind of job you do. You might have a job lifting and picking up stuff, or you might have a job sitting down all day at a computer.
Right.
So it's different lifestyles and different jobs that's required once you're dancing. You say, well, you know, I need to do this before I warm up. But prior to me warming up, I have to have that mental state of mine that I know I'm cold. I know I have done nothing all day. So take me on the floor and take it easy on me first. And once you go through the part of taking it easy and warming you up, then your body is pretty much ready. It's just like stretching. You got to stretch before you do anything. And
right.
Most part, if a dancer is really in pretty good shape, he has got vigorous moves and he just go out there or she just go out there and they're ready to go. Because they might be exercise gurus. They might be people that walks a lot. But whatever the job is required of them, if it's physical, you know, it difference for every person that comes to the dance floor. But going back to people that's obese, don't let obesity fool you. Some obese people are very, very strong.
Yeah.
And they can last and they can go.
It's I know they're saying they that they're light on their feet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My mother was 6'1", 200-something pound, and can roll.
Wow, so, that's great.
And yeah,
the thing to cure obesity,
you have to actually do it more than one day a week.
Yeah.
You have to constantly, at least three times a week. Or your doctor say you can do more. But like I say, everything in moderation, and you don't want to overdo it.
And a common sense factor would be that if you want to do something that requires a little more exercise than you're normally used to, you're going to have to gear yourself up for that.
Right.
And what other helpful good thing it does too, Louis, if you can give us an estimate of calories one will burn while dancing, let's say, in some cases, a vigorous routine like you do, does that actually burn up a lot of calories?
Oh, my God. Yes, it does. I eat all the time. While I'm dancing, after I dance, before I dance, because I'm burning all the time. If I'm dancing, it takes my mind off of eating anyway.
Yeah.
So when I do eat, my body's waiting to take that carbs or meat or whatever. My body's just waiting. And it's being burnt as I digest it. By the time it gets past my esophagus, my body's like yearning, like, please come down here. Help me feed this man.
That's great. What we're going
to
do right now.
You have to drink plenty of water.
Yeah. Dehydration. Yeah.
Yep.
What we're going to do now, Louis, is take a little break. We're going to take a break right now, and we should be back in 13 seconds.
Right. Let's get loose.
District.
Yeah. That.
What up, y'all? Just came to your city to say what's up.
What up?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Show me love.
Hop off the plane to a new show.
What up?
And all the shorties, they be waiting on me. Thugs packing they
pissed. Well, welcome back. This is Andel, your host for Wish Upon a Star. Before we get back to our guest, I have an announcement. We want to say, ladies and gentlemen, have you heard of Motor Club of America? Well, Motor Club of America is a wonderful benefit package that offers $50,000 accidental death coverage, $150 daily hospital benefit, discount on prescription, vision, and dental, a $1,000 credit card protection, and $5,000 stolen vehicle reward, and much, much more under this particular program. You get all of these benefits for just $19.95. Let me repeat that. All of these benefits for $19.95. If you are interested in taking advantage of these fantastic benefits, visit www.mymcapro.com/Denise Banks, or you can call 443-889-9422. The name of the company is Motor Club of America. You can reach them at www.mymcapro.com/Denise Banks, or just give them a call, 443-889-9422. We're back with our guest, Louis Butterfield.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, fine. Continuing our conversation, which is so interesting. You know it's interesting to me, much as I love to dance. What changes might one feel about their body, which we have probably touched already, when starting to dance? Let's say you're just starting to dance, that they may not have felt before. And how can they arrest themselves to more or less be comfortable with that?
Well, the first thing you'll notice, your flexibility in your legs and arms begin to increase.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you start noticing, if you do it after maybe 90 days, you start noticing some kind of muscle tone, or if you have any excess fat that you want to actually lose, you'll feel it burning because you have to actually move and keep moving, never stop moving to a record.
Mm.
And at the same time, you're looking at parts of your body that you never use, And you start feeling things that you never felt before. You're like, what is this? I feel something in my back. Because the back needs to be strengthened.
Mm.
Because the front, your core is weak. You're going to feel the effects in your back. So your core is the main center of your body. If your core is strong, you don't have a lot of problems because you know how to distribute your weight. You may make few errors by doing new things, and you start thinking real hard. You start getting headaches because now that big brain, it's a little muscle in there that works and moves different parts of the body. And it's just like going back to school again. You're like, oh my God, I had to think about this? Yes, you do. Because the body ain't going to move without the brain. The brain tells the body exactly what to do. And the brain, sometimes, there's a warfare going on between the two. But once you do it over and over and be persistent, it starts becoming real fluid. Becomes very easy. And the next thing you know, there's something else you add on. You say, oh, Lord, not some more. I just got this. But dancing is just like a puzzle. You do one part at a time. You add a piece to it. Once you're comfortable with that, you add another piece to it. You're steadily learning.
What do you think about, well, I took professional lessons, and I know a lot of people don't do professional. I started out with ballet, then tap, then modern, then jazz, and then swing. But I noticed that a lot of people don't have that posture. What is your opinion about correct posture when dancing?
With posture, to the untrained eye, if you're just doing social dancing,
they
don't care about posture. People think people think they may be able to compete. No, not with social dancing.
Right.
Structured dancing with those things you just talked about. You took up point and tap and ballet. Those are structured dancing. To the trained eye, you can look at that and say, that's a professional. She got a training or background of dance. But street dancing and unstructured dancing, you don't need no posture. But what's going to happen eventually is as you get older, if you've got your back curved and you're dancing and you're looking to the floor, you're going to wind up having a degenerate back problem. See, the structured dancer keeps you upright.
Yeah.
So you look presentable all the time. Even when you walk, people look at you and say, oh, Lord, he walked like he's proud. And it's the look of confidence. You shouldn't be ashamed of your dance by looking down the ground like you lost some money. You should never be ashamed to look at the woman that you're dancing with.
Right.
I see a lot of guys unstructured. They look all at the floor, looking everywhere else, except for the person that they supposed to be connected to.
Exactly.
That's the difference between structured dancing and unstructured dancing. And a trained eye can see it.
Right. Well, do you think that's something that should be incorporated in all of these places that are teaching people how to dance? Because I notice when I go online and I see all these people creating these dances and everything, and most of them, I would say 80% of them, they're looking down on the floor.
Well, I've traveled to a lot of states. I'm not going to mention none of them, but I traveled to almost at least 30 different states. And what happens is, someone teaches them how to dance, what they do, and it's different everywhere you go. And it's only a little bit of knowledge behind what they're teaching.
Only
thing they want you to learn is the way they dance.
Right.
They might not have a clue of structure. What is structure?
Mm-hmm.
They can't break it down. Only thing they can count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for about an hour, hour and a half. That's not teaching structured dance.
I know.
Arthur Murray's is one of the best places we can learn structured dancing. If you don't have the basic foundation, you can't go nowhere. If you don't have a basic foundation, whatever dance
you're
doing,
right. Yeah.
And most people don't have the foundation, just like building a house.
Exactly.
If you don't have a good foundation, a house is going to fall down. But what I've noticed is a lot of guys or ladies that teach, because women, I'm say this about women, women are the best instructors. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And I'm a man. But the guys, they don't want to go outside the box to learn different things from different cultures. They want to stay right there within the community.
And there you go.
And learn what everybody else in the community already know.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just sucking it up and say, whether I like you or not, teach me that.
Yeah.
In dancing, you can pull something from every culture. European.
Exactly.
Chinese, Hispanic, salsa. You can pull something from tango. You can pull something from waltz. But most of our people are so complacent with what they already know. They say, I already got that. Oh, I don't want to learn that. You know, but you got to be free spirit and have an open mind if you really, really want to dance. Dancing, they do it everywhere in the world.
Exactly.
There shouldn't be no discriminatory boundary when that music come on.
I agree. Another little thing I wanted to touch on there, I'm speaking to an expert, that's why I'm interjecting these questions. I noticed that, some men, I don't like the dancers at all because they're too rough. But aside from that, what do you think about, well, of course, I know that comes under structure. They do all of the dancing, let the woman stand in the middle of the floor because they're doing their own thing.
Well, the guys have an attitude based on who taught them. It shouldn't be an attitude. Nobody is dominant. You're equal in the dance.
Yeah.
The male shouldn't feel like he's dominant because he's leading the dance. And the woman should always feel that she's equal to him. You got to be on the same sheet of music in order to dance. But most men, I'm speaking from guys that I've pulled information from, they do not have enough information, so they repeat the same thing over and over, and they feel ashamed, and they're not proud of themselves because they haven't really grasped over all the years they've been dancing.
Right.
20 years ago, 30 years ago, they're doing the same thing.
I know. I know.
Just a different suit in a different place. That's called complacency.
Yeah.
But if you're going to teach, you got to go out and get information. You got to read. You got to study. Most people going on YouTube and watching somebody do something or watching Dance with the Stars, thinking that you can look at it and pick it up. Wrong answer.
I know.
Those people study 6 to 8 hours a day. You think you're going to get it just looking at them?
I know.
It don't work that way. You got to put time in.
Okay, the time in, too, can also be relative to what I know that a lot of people should do if they don't do in dancing, and that is the steps in dancing choreography that one can practice without a partner that cannot be done, let's say, on a treadmill, for instance, for exercise or something. Are there any dancing choreography steps that a person can learn? Some people don't know how to do the turn. What about the turn?
The thing is,
I think that's one thing.
They have videotapes. They got workshops in any state that you go to. You can look it up, do some research, and go on the internet, and you can find anything that you want to learn about dancing. But the thing is, people got so many excuses.
Yeah.
Why they don't want to travel that far, or why they don't want to go with that instructor, or it's too many people in the class, or it costs too much. If you want to learn it, you have to give up something. You got to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because it's going to pay off in the long run. You're going to look different. You're going to dance better than you danced maybe 12 or 20 years ago. You're going to learn new things. That's what it's about. The brain is always developing new things.
Mm-hmm.
When the brain stops developing new things, it goes to sleep on you.
Yep.
That's where Alzheimer's and dementia and all these things set in, because you're not using that muscle. So if you want to learn something without a partner, you can learn different line dances. You can learn spiritual and praise dances.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn choreography from country and western. Country and western have some of the best choreography when it comes to line dancing. Most of the African Americans take the country and western line dances and put different music to it. That's all they do.
Right.
You can choreograph stuff like I do. I choreograph steps off the fly.
I know.
I pick a certain amount of people and I say, show me your best step. And they might do something that you don't do. And I break it down into eights. Because all your music, you're going to have to dance to the music. All your music is going to be in eights. Leave out the intro. And by the time the number five hit, something has to change. So I've done this numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm smart. It's just that I understand.
Exactly.
Once you understand, you can get the ball rolling. Most people that's instructors, they claim to be teachers, but teachers only teach you all day. You're their student all day. We're talking about middle school.
Yeah.
You go to high school, you got different classes. So now you got people that's supposed to be teachers that's giving you some instructions. If you don't take the instruction and use it, I'm just giving you the instruction. You have to apply it. So basically, I never taught you how to dance. I gave you some information, and you followed it. And you were persistent with it, and you did it over and over and over until you got it. I didn't teach it to you. I gave you some information.
Right.
So all these people calling themselves instructors, they're not really instructors. They're giving you some material and some information.
Okay. For our listeners, what should they look for in case they're listening to this and saying, yeah, I would love to go, because that's what a lot of people are doing now. They're going down and they're dancing. Okay, should they look for in a trainer or instructor?
In a trainer, first you got to do your research. You got to find out what have this person accomplished.
Okay.
What have they done on the competitive side?
Mm-hmm.
Where have they been certified to teach? By what group or what organization? Find out some things about the person that's teaching you.
Right.
Before you start paying your money out, because you know, we don't have a lot of money.
Right.
Just give away and keep giving away until we find out, you know what? That guy and that guy and this girl and that girl, they were talking on different pages. I didn't understand it clearly. But in the meantime, you're out of pocket some money that you could have used for a professional dance instructor. And they also have to be CPR trained, because people come in there, you know, have physical ailments, might have a heart problem. You don't know how to work a defibrillator. You don't know how to give mouth to mouth. You don't know how to give first aid. You don't know. The first thing is, if one person was to fall out, God forbid that happened, but things do happen.
Well, we had a recent situation where that did happen.
Right. And the people don't know what to do.
Didn't know what to do.
They know the first thing. They didn't know how to call the ambulance, come get the person, and apply first aid until the ambulance get there.
Right.
So it's required. It's just like a physical instructor. It's just like aerobic instructor. They have to have certain things on the record. They have to show. Make them show. Let me see your CPR card. Wherever was you taught at? I mean, ask them questions. You got that right.
Right.
When you go buy a car, you want to say, well, how long have you been selling cars? Because I want a good deal. Where have you worked there before? Don't let them ask you all the questions. You're spending money, not them. And most instructors are not good dancers. And most good dancers are not good instructors. Mm-hmm. And when you find a combination, a good instructor and a good dancer, you're going to hit the nail right on the head.
Exactly. That's why you got to go to eruptible people.
Right. A person with a reputation and the credibility.
Mm-hmm.
He done put students out there or she put students out there and they dancing. He's like, oh, my Lord, where'd you learn that from?
We definitely
have to do your background check and all that good stuff.
Right. Also, Lewis, we see a lot of our seniors taking to the wood, and that's what I like to call it. When you go to that floor belongs to you. And they're taking to the wood in hand dance and line dance class. And a lot of these young seniors are 75. Now, is that to say, and I'm almost believe that it can dance, can challenge your mind as well as your muscles, because they have to remember those steps in line dance.
Oh, yeah. When they mean take it to the wood, they have a record out. The big band used to play back in the 1920s called Taking It to the Wood. Those are the Lindy Hop days. If the floor wasn't wooden.
Yeah,
well,
that's my era. That's my era. That was about 2 days later.
Oh, Lord. Well, you don't look a day over 30, girl. But wood, based on what kind it is, it absorbs, you know, all that weight that you use when you're bouncing or stomping or trying to hit a beat with your feet or, you know, because most Lindy Hoppers, a lot of them had tap dance steps, and they were pretty hard on their knees, even though they were young when they were doing it. But what you do when you're young, catch up with you when you get a little bit mature.
Right.
So wood is the best thing. Most people that go out and dance, they check the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They dance on it. Say, oh, no, this here, it's too soft underneath here. It ain't going to absorb the shock. And I'm going to have knee problems. Or I'm going to be putting Bengay on after the night is over.
Right.
Next thing you know, everybody that danced for years, everybody got a cane. Everybody have a walker. They're trying to figure it out. You dance too hard on these floors. Because we used to go to block parties and dance on the cement.
Yeah.
But we had young bones then.
Yeah.
We danced on towel. We danced in the sand. But, you know, you feel it when you get about 40, 50 years old, if you do it long enough.
And my parents danced all through their lives. And my mother, of course, danced in heels, just like I do. And I still dance.
Oh, yeah.
But she never
danced
had any problems.
Heels,
but she danced in her heels.
It helps you a lot because it develops that part of your ankle that you really need.
Yeah.
The turn. And most people don't dance in heels because they don't have an instep. They have to wear flat shoes.
Oh.
So it's kind of hard.
I have a very high instep, yeah.
Oh, you got a high instep, you got to wear high heels.
Exactly.
And it looks good, too.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you have to do that in moderation.
Exactly.
If you dance a very, very nice tango or waltz, heels are required.
Exactly.
If you're doing West Coast, East Coast, get above, jive, Lindy Hop, you need a dance shoe. A dance shoe, the definition is a shoe that absorbs the shot from the floor with a suede bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Suede bottom helps control your spins. the turns.
And it has a shank in it. All right. Dance shoes have a shank in it, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. If you wear a street shoe, I go to a lot of clubs, I see people in street shoes, you setting yourself up for injury. So I'm going to always stress the positive and the negative. Mostly positive things, but we have to look out for wellness, fitness, and doing those things, you can easily get injured. So we want to be doing these things and having fun. But at the same time, we want to wind up in the hospital, you know, with a knee transplant and ankles and toes. So many people are getting bunions and foot surgery, you know, after a certain age because of the kind of shoes that they wear to perform what they're going to be doing. You know, if you're going to walk, you got to wear walking shoes. You're going to play basketball, you got to wear tennis shoes. You're going to dance, you're going to wear heels or dance shoes.
Right.
Or they got heels. That's a dance shoe. They got suede bottoms, too.
That's correct. Well, Lois, before we take another break, I did some research further into current aspects of dancing, matter of fact. And in a recent study by Dr. Joe Virgiri on the physical aspect of dancing, and he reports that of 11 physical activities considered in his study, only dancing was tied to a lower dementia risk.
What?
Yes. So on that note, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in 13 seconds. Hi, welcome back. This is Andell Banks, your host on Wish Upon a Star, and we're broadcasting on www.bbsradio.com, Station 2. You can listen to all of our previous broadcasts in our archive file. We also welcome comments and suggestions at our email address, musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, welcoming back our guest for this session, Lewis Butter Neal.
That's me.
Very interesting conversation so far. So now we're going to continue, and now we're going to get to talk about you and your story, Lewis. At 13 years of age, what was your aha moment, as they say, that sparked your desire to explore the art of dance?
Well, watching my mother and father dance on Saturdays at the age of 13, it looks exciting and energetic. People are having the best time of their life. I said to myself, I got to learn that. So I started dancing with my mother. Didn't really know what I was doing, but I figured it out real quick. And so I got 7 sisters that would take me to dances. Back then, they called them hops.
Yeah.
Or rent parties or waistline parties. They did all kind of things with dancing to help people in the community that didn't have. So if a person needed money for rent, they didn't have the money to provide for them that services to pay their rent, they would throw a party. Make 50 cents a piece to get in, they come into their house and we dance. So in order for me to get liked by the girls, the real pretty girls, you had to know how to dance. I said, I got to learn this. I like girls. And so my sisters taught me, and so they taught me to the point where I got pretty good at it and went to block parties, and I overexceeded what I set out to do. I didn't know I was going to be doing splits and all this stuff. And so my first contest was at a block party. And I won that. And everybody, you know, started giving me notoriety. So I said, oh, this could be fun. So from there, I start picking up hand dance moves from other people and making mistakes and making my mistakes my best moves. I said, you know what? I'm going to take this to another level. So I'm going to get me a partner and we're going to practice. So that's what we did. There's no more joy when you can walk in a club with a woman by your side holding her hand and you know you're going to turn it out. That is a great feeling. And y'all dressed to kill.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, Lord, I got to take this to level 3. So my first competition was in Baltimore against the best of the best.
Okay, well, that's my next question. My next question, if you're going to roll it in, I'll just let you go ahead. Please tell our audience some of your most exciting ventures, competitions, and award-winning accomplishments in your dancing career. And definitely, before you finish that particular question, tell us, how did you get the name Butter? Okay, carry it on.
Butter. Well, when I was a baby, I was a little fat boy.
Do your ventures first. Do that part.
Huh?
Do the ventures and competitions and award-winning first.
Okay. Yeah, back to my competition. They had the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And D.C. came to Baltimore with the best of the best. And Stepping Out Production, Andell, she'll remember because she was the co-host and director
judge.
And the producer. They
and
gave
the
a competition.
The producer, right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I was like, I got to get in this. So it was three bold people from Baltimore and the rest was D.C. Man, they spanked us. Because they spanked us so well, that motivated me. I said, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take up some lessons, because I know y'all took up some lessons to dance that good. But I'm going to get each one of you, I'm going to slow walk you. I'm going to get you, you, and you, and you. And so that's what I did. I started taking up classes from different places, and out of Washington, D.C., the Smooth and Easy Dance Institute. Couple people in Baltimore that taught me some things. And I went to New Jersey because I was told that they can dance in New Jersey. They got a competition up there. I said, oh, okay, I'm going up there. And God told me, oh, man, them white people up there, you know, ain't going to be no thing. So, you know, let's go up there and check them out. Man, let me tell you.
That's right.
White people can dance.
Yes, they
My
can.
My mouth was wide open.
Yes.
I couldn't leave my chair. I didn't even want to go to the bathroom. They was putting it down. I was like, what?
Yes. Yes.
I said, oh, Lord, that's it. I got to learn some of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I talked to some of the guys that performed in different categories, and they had workshops. So I was open-minded. A lot of the other blacks didn't want to learn, but who cares? But anyway, I learned so much stuff, and I came back, and Baltimore had another competition. In Baltimore, the big boys in Baltimore, and I beat all of them.
I know.
That was the easiest $500 I ever won in my life.
Yes, I remember.
So after that, I started going on to bigger things. I started competing in the West Coast Swing area and started doing shows. I got a group together. Senior citizens, we competed at Tri-State, which is Virginia, Baltimore, D.C.
Right.
And I won a lot of
Mad
competitions
jam.
There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hand dancing and line dancing. And from there, they moved some more competition to Virginia. I would start going there and dancing other categories, like they call Jack and Jill. You don't know who you're going to dance with.
Right.
You can lead pretty good. You can dance with anyone. So
exactly.
I did pretty good in that. A guy named Ron Fisher had the world largest dance competition in, I can't think of the part of Maryland, but it was big. And I've danced in seven
Well, he was
categories.
From Meadowland. He was from Meadowland. He brought it here in Baltimore one year.
Right, but this one guy was black.
Oh.
So this is all African-American, yeah.
Brad?
That was Ron Fisher.
Oh, Ron Fisher. Okay.
Yeah. He's from D.C., but he had a competition at the Hollywood Ballroom.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Up in Cherry Hill, Maryland. That's where it was. Cherry Hill, Maryland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I was there.
I actually won 7 first place. at this competition. I couldn't believe it. I had seven different women I danced with. And I was like, God said, stay right here, Lewis. I was going to leave after I won one trophy. He said, stay right here. You got another one coming to you. So after that, you know, I said, I might have a handle on this. So then I start going to other places. The first place I went to that was further from the East Coast was the West Coast in California. Never forget it. San Jose, California. I look at them people dancing, and they danced in the master's category. Masters mean only one thing, that you're the master at what you do.
Right.
And you have to be over 50 to enter.
Right.
And that first year, I didn't get in it. But the second year, I had to prepare myself for it. But, you know, I got whipped a couple times. And I just wiped my tears and came back with it again. When I asked the judges, right, why and how can I get more points? And how can I do this? And how can I do that? And they advised me I need a dance choreographer. I said, nope, I'll do my own. They said, well, you need a dance coach. So I got a dance coach. I choreographed my own stuff because I wanted to feel comfortable and not lose my ethnic background in the hand dancing community, because I love what my parents did. I'm sure my parents love what they did. I'm not going to turn my back to that and say I'm going to give this up to transform and do somebody else's dance in another state.
But another inside point on that, those competitions, because, you know, we were in one, me and my partner was in one, is how many times do you enter to different ones, to their different competitions?
How many times?
Yeah, how many times? Because the one guy that won one time, it's only because, you might even know him, I'm not going to mention his name, he used to win all the time, and I go like, I guess somebody says better than that. But because he enters all the contests, you know what I mean? He
has you're talking about Alpha Boom.
And they liked him. So
he
always got more points than everybody else. So he started winning first place. Then after a while, he started doing second place because, you know.
Right.
But that's another inside thing that happens. It's not necessarily that you're not bad. It's because how often did you compete?
Yeah, the thing
so
about
the money
when you get
thing
into
too.
The politics of dancing.
Yeah, it's a politics.
First of all, you got to be likable.
Yeah.
You got to be pleasing. Got to dress accordingly.
Along with being good.
Yeah. So it takes a lot to get out on that floor in front of about 2,000 people, and the spotlights is on you, and all the house lights is on you, too.
Yeah.
So from my entertainment field, because I've entertained people through the dance, it was pretty simple for me. So that was a plus. And the joy of winning, whether you're in second, first, third, fourth, fifth, it doesn't matter. You are a winner stepping on that floor.
Exactly. I don't want to leave until you tell us some of your current endeavors in this art of dancing arena, and where can somebody get in touch with you in case they want to upgrade their dance skills or just learn to make a dance a part of their health routine. You can take as much time as you want and give us all the information, and we will repeat it, and you can repeat it.
Okay. I sure will.
Where can they?
Still there?
Yeah, I'm just saying, go ahead and give us all that information where people can actually contact you, and what are you doing now?
You want that now?
Yes, because we have five minutes.
What I'm doing right now, I'm actually choreographing for some children that are still in school. And I'm also competing at the national level. I've done a lot of things for the Creative Arts Festival for the Department of the Army. And that's where, you know, you have to beat your opponent. And there's about over 2,000 veterans that you have to compete with. And they'll pick one. And so I've been picked for the last 3 years to go out. I've danced at Denver, Reno. I've danced in Boston. And I've also danced at Constitution Hall for the Creative Art Festival. I've also done commercials. I've done the gambling, Dancing Against Gambling for the University of Maryland. I am doing, right now, the 1st of June, I'll be doing a commercial for the theaters about soup, camel soup. I choreograph all the dance steps. We're going to be dressed up like carrots and all that. So when you come to any theater, you'll see a bunch of people dressed up like carrots and tomatoes and stuff like that. And that dance, I actually choreographed.
Now,
me and Leslie goes to Houston at least 3 times a year and do dance demonstrations and dance workshops. And we are always wanted on the circuit to do things. People are calling us all the time. And we have a very busy schedule, especially during the summertime. And my biggest goal and my objective is to travel to Africa and teach this dance to our brothers and sisters that's over there that's been watching us. Because we just did a thing back in, I believe, April in D.C. called the Breeze Country Swing Dance. It's a TV show. Comes on every week, every Wednesday. Leslie and I had a chance to dance one Wednesday. Now, mind you not, they never had over 350 hits on the internet. After me and Leslie danced, we are now at 1.8 million hits.
Oh, my goodness. Now, which one was that?
It's called Breeze Country Swing Dancing. It's out of D.C.
And that's on YouTube?
That's on YouTube.
Oh, I'm going to definitely look at that. Breeze Country Swing. Okay.
Right.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Over 1.8 million. And we haven't been back since. Because the people there, I don't know what's going on with them, but I think we shouldn't have showed up. Because we showed off.
You showed up and you showed off.
That's right.
Okay. So how can people get in touch? Can they go online and go on your line?
Okay, you can reach me and Leslie at Leslie and Lewis Dancing with Soul. Or you can go to my website, which is lewis.neal@hotmail.com.
Excellent.
My number is 443-851-8443.
Great.
Lewis.
Okay, Lewis, this has been fantastic. I'm getting ready to sign off, but I want to make sure you know how grateful we are for your support.
My
this
privilege.
Is on I'd like it. Thank you so much.
I'm
going
to
now
begin. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
You're quite welcome. I'm going to sign off now, so I want to say again, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been discussing this wonderful, wonderful field of dance with Lewis Butter Neal. And all of the information that he's bestowed upon us, you can find on the archives. We're broadcasting on www.bbsradio.com, station 2. You can listen to all previous broadcasts in our archive file. We also welcome comments and suggestions at musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to ask you again, have you heard of Master of Motor Club of America? The Motor Club of America is a wonderful benefit package that offers $50,000 accidental death coverage, $150 daily hospital benefit, discount on prescription, vision, and dental, $1,000 credit card protection, $5,000 stolen vehicle reward, and much, much more. Of course, all of these are at a nominal fee of $19.95. If you are interested in taking advantage of these fantastic benefits, please visit www.mymcapro.com/Denise Banks or call 443-889-8255. 9422. Thank you for listening to Wish Upon a Star. This is Andell Banks, your host, saying all through your life, please keep reaching for the stars. Thank you and have a great day.